MMA Topics Radio. Here we go, motherfuckers.
Static selection.
Yeah. Chris Webby. Yeah. Static on the beat. Baby, I get loose. You know what I mean? Feeling good. Real good. Yeah. It's that human dictionary, Webby's always rapping A to Z, never small to play with me, the flow is never rated G, my style is undescribable, so nobody can label me, get loose with a bottle of goose, rolling an ace of weed, step to me, then I'm prepared for war, cause I'm a ninja, so you know I'm down to carry a sword, in the lead, so my competitors stare at the score, while I be getting high like Chewbacca and Harrison Ford, immature, yeah sure, but I spit that heat, molten live off the top, baby Dante's peak, I just tighten up my sneaks, and I stomp that beat, Bill the Butcher don't even know if he want that beef, I get loose like the crotch of my jeans, so complex when I rap, can't even tell what a lot of it means. But I'll be getting to the top by any possible means. With that audio crack rock I got for the feet.
I get loose in the booth and I'm at it again. So get ready for the show, baby, gather your friends. It's that foul mouth white boy back to offend everybody that I can with my pad and a pen. I get loose with the flow, never added my words. CT on my back and I rip up the shirt. Anybody and everybody can tell it's my turn. So I'ma show these people why Webby's the best in the
bird. I roll the dice like Jumanji. No Robin Williams, but I have a pack of animals that peeping through your lobby. I'm the son of Zeus, Webby's bitter godly. I'm a good fella, play the role of Tommy. With a couple zannies in my system and a Kalani. I be wildin' out of control, I fucking dare you to stop me. I'm edgier than complicated origami. Throwing fists, I'm the opposite of Gandhi. Never be whack, I headed a pack. I'm leveling tracks, etc. You step in the ring, I'm sending you back. You'll be lucky if you leave it and your head is attached. When I attack that nervous system with these venomous tracks. Stay loose like the laces on my boots. Living proof that hip-hop ain't dead. It evolved to something new. So call the army and bring up the damn tanks. Cause that's all she wrote, diarrhea and Frank.
In the booth and I'm at it again. So get ready for the show, baby, gather your friends. It's that foul-mouthed white boy back to offend everybody that I can with my pad and a pen. I get loose with the flow, never edit my words. CT on my back and I rip it for sure. Anybody and everybody can tell it's my turn. So I'ma show these people why Webby's the best in the bird. Yeah.
I get loose. That's Chris Webby. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a rapper out of Connecticut, a white boy. Everyone needs to go check him out. I actually went and peeped him out last night in Boston at the Paradise Rock Club.
Yeah, did you or did you get kicked out the fucking Paradise Boston?
I got kicked out. Well, I got my boy kicked out. It was fucked up, man. Last night was a
Well, you got Gore Galore. Everybody knows Gore Galore.
Yeah, my partner in crime from In Your Face. Check us out on YouTube. We went to the Chris Webby concert last night and fucking, we were just getting wrecked, dude. We were hammering fucking Coors Lights before we went in there. I was drinking Grey Goose and Sprite while I was up in the club. But it was like a wicked young crowd because this dude Webby's only like 23, so like there was like a bunch of like 16-year-old kids there, 15-year-old kids. Not too many people drinking, you know what I mean? So like, I don't know. Even the bartenders were being bitches because like they weren't getting good tips because there was only like a few people drinking up in there, so they were being like cunts too.
Yeah, I can't really picture this kid watching trauma films bumping Chris Webby, but I mean, hey, I guess he does.
Who? Gorgoa?
Yeah.
Hey, he's got unique taste, I guess.
Trauma.
Trauma.
It's another trauma reference.
Bloodstain likes trauma, too. Trauma's big.
I guess so.
Yeah, but anyways, this Chris Webby concert, I was wicked fucked up, and I was, like, banging into some kid. Like, I got pushed up against some kid, and then, like, he sort of pushed me, and then I threw my cup of fucking Goose and Sprite and hit him right in the face, and, like, ice went everywhere, and, like, went all over the place. I felt like a G. I was like, oh, what's up? I just threw my drink. And I, like, took my shirt off, thinking I was tough, and, like, tapped my chin. Some, like, a kid who was probably, like, mad younger than me.
You look like you were on Bad Girls Club throwing a drink like a fucking girl.
I know. I've been watching Bad Girls Club too much. Like, rather than throwing a punch, I threw a drink first. I'm like,
it's kind of lame.
I just made, like, a big, like...
You should have chugged your drink. You should have chugged your drink and then fucking kicked his ass.
I know. That would have been G. But anyways, yeah, Webby. Everyone go check him out on Twitter, YouTube. White boy putting it down. I'm feeling him. I wish I could have saw more of him. I only saw, like, three songs and I got kicked out, so... Sucks.
what you get for fighting a 17-year-old.
I know, right? Mad young bitches up in there. Fucking could have caught a charge last night, too. Anyways, though, we got a good show. We're going to talk to Daniel Strauss around 9:30 p.m. We're going to get him in here. He's fighting the Bellator March 9th, upcoming featherweight tournament. He's been in it before. He's coming off a win over Jason Dent. He fought for some other organization in the meantime. You know, just like a tune-up fight, get ready for Bellator. But, yeah, we've had him on the show a few times. We're going to be talking to him. He's fighting Jeremy Spoon, some dude who's 12-0. I believe he's making his Bellator debut, so it's going to be interesting. And then a little bit later on in the show, we're going to be talking to Mark, the Fight Shark, Miller. And this dude's a beast, dude. If you saw his last fight, he knocked the dude out in, like, fucking, I think, like, 9 seconds or something ridiculous like that.
Yeah, it was pretty sick with a fucking right hook or a left hook, I believe.
Yeah, and he had that that story where he had had to get, like, the heart. He had the enlarged heart, and they had to do surgery to him. And
yeah.
Crazy shit. Like, I don't know. He still fights with it. I think he might even have to get surgery again because I think he has, like a valve. I think they replaced like a heart valve or something. Maybe.
Yeah, there's probably so many steps of surgery or something.
I know, like, that dude Everlast had like a titanium one put in, so he doesn't have to get another surgery. So I wonder if he has a titanium one or not. He probably doesn't.
Who knows? Yeah.
Yeah, but we're gonna be getting him in here in a little bit, and we're also gonna be previewing UFC 144 Japan. Frankie Edgar taking on Ben Hinton. For the lightweight title, it's going to be a fucking banger. Those two are both beasts. They go at it.
Yeah, that is going to be a really good fight. I mean, that could be fight of the year, you know.
Yeah. The gas tank on those guys is ridiculous, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they're both, you know, they're both pretty much champs. You know, Ben Henderson used to be a champ for WEC, so, you know, he's used to fighting five-round fights, so
yeah.
It's going to be good.
But before we get into all that, let's review UFC on Fuel. Sanchez versus Ellenberger went down this past Wednesday night. Pretty good main event, a sick main event, actually. I heard Dana White and a bunch of people actually saying they regret that it wasn't five rounds. And Dana actually said they dropped the ball big time on this, and he wished they made it a five-round fight.
Yeah.
Because, like, they definitely could have still won another two rounds. And, like, a lot of people were saying it could have changed for Diego in those later rounds.
I don't get that five-round shit, how they're only doing it on certain, you know.
Yeah, the consistency is not there. They said it was going to be every card, and now it's only some of them. Like, it was on the Phil Davis-Evans one was a five-rounder, but, like.
Right.
I don't know. All the pay-per-view ones, I guess, are going to be five-rounders, though.
Yeah.
That still doesn't really make sense, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jake Ellenberger, I mean, he looked good out there. Diego Sanchez looked good, too. It was just a fun fight to watch. I didn't think Ellenberger was going to be able to knock out Diego just because the dude's never been knocked out. He just keeps coming forward always. But he looked good. He looked like he had Ellenberger kind of tired at one point, you know?
Yeah.
Just because he was turning into a slugfest, and that's what Diego loves, you know?
Right.
But, yeah, hopefully Ellenberger gets a fucking rematch with Connett, but I doubt he's going to get it. I think Connett's just sitting out and waiting since Nick Diaz and that drug test bullshit now, you know?
Yeah, probably. I mean, that would probably be his best bet. I mean, because Ellenberger had a war together, you know what I mean? So that would be bad if he took that fight with Ellenberger and then lost his chance.
Yeah, because this way he can just fight GSP, get a huge payday, and earn respect by taking out the number one welterweight guy, you know?
Right, and GSP might be back sooner than people are thinking, you know what I mean? Who knows? Some people can hail quicker.
And Connor, why not? Just take some time, relax, sit out for a little bit.
Right.
I personally would like to see him and Ellenberger fight, though. I think Ellenberger, he deserved it. His only loss in the UFC is to Carlos Connor, which is a split decision, which Ellenberger beat the shit out of Connor that first round. So.
See, if they don't give it to Ellenberger, who do you think's going to happen? Do you think the winner, what is it, Koscheck and Johnny Hendricks are fighting? So
yeah.
The winner of that, do you think, is going to fight Ellenberger, probably?
I guess, yeah, that would make sense.
Well, that would make sense to see who is the next in line after Connor, you know, if Connor's going to sit out.
Yeah, they're fighting each other at UFC on Fox 3. It's going to be a sick card.
I think that's the only thing that makes sense. You know what I mean? Koscheck and Hendricks are definitely the top guys. You know how Fitch got knocked out. So.
Yeah, the welterweight division is crazy mixed up right now.
Right.
Oh, another thing I want to say. Did you watch MMA Live this week?
No, you know what? I was watching it live, and it wasn't on. It was, like, NFL Live, and I was like, oh, it's probably not going to record. And I know it was, like, a new cast and shit, so I didn't even really give a fuck, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, so I had to fast-forward through my DVR, like, 45 minutes, an hour to watch it.
Right.
And the new cast was horrible. I didn't like it at all.
Wasn't
I mean,
that same guy that they used that one time?
I think so.
Yeah. That guy sucked.
And then they had, like, some other guy that I didn't like, and then Jorge Rivera was probably doing the guest commentary. So, but I just wasn't feeling it. I was like, man, I love John Eric and K-Flow now, like, compared to these guys. Fuck.
Yeah, compared to guys like that, because you get used to guys, like, you know, and, like, Anik's not as good, Anik and, like, Florian aren't that good as commentators as, like, Rogan and Goldberg. I don't even want to give Goldberg that much credit because he's just like a Rogan puppet, you know what I mean?
He's just a robot,
good,
basically.
Yeah, he's just like a good commentator, you know what I mean? He's just like, he doesn't really stumble and shit, you know?
Yeah, like,
he doesn't really know that much.
Like, he'll go off about the city that they're in. He's like, we're in the beautiful state of California, like, you know, like,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, he'll just say, like, just to keep the...
a filler, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no dead air, so he can just keep saying bullshit.
Right, Rogan's the one that knows shit, you know what I mean? Like, he just fucking will agree with anything Rogan says, you know what I mean?
Yeah, Goldberg usually just brings up facts. Like, he grew up in this place, he trains out of here, but
right.
Rogan's usually the one describing the fight as it's going on.
Right.
But, yeah, getting back to UFC on Fuel, Jake Ellenberger, he looked really impressive over the Diego Sanchez win. Co-main event, kind of disappointing. Dave Sasquatch Herman, formerly Pee Wee Herman.
Oh, yeah, whatever the fuck he's calling himself.
Yeah, got knocked out. Well, he got knocked down and then got ground and pounded, basically.
Yeah.
Like, couldn't get off the ground and pound.
Which I was surprised. I thought he would be able to get up, but he just didn't. I mean...
Yeah, Stefan Struve, props to him, though.
Struve. He definitely is really good. I mean... You know, he has a couple of lumps in his record, but he's been fighting good guys. They've been throwing him. They haven't been giving him, you know, easy fights. So
yeah, he kicked Dave Herman's leg, like, with a left leg kick, and then, like, as his leg, like, was bent down, he hit him with a right uppercut and just, like, knocked him flat on his ass.
Yeah, no, that was a nice hit combination.
Herman looked really good the first round, and then sort of just looked like he was playing around the second round. It cost him.
Yeah, Herman tends to do that.
Yeah, it looks like he just wants to have fun in there and, like, doesn't go... He doesn't look like he's a killer, like, right... Like, he's going to run right at you. Like, he needs to, like, turn that Nick Diaz switch on.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't get cut, because, I mean, I know Dana White's been talking, like...
And Dana was pissed that he can't... He's like, this guy's trying to get noticed by growing a beard, like, wearing pink scarves, coming out the Macho Man. He's like, nothing against YMCA, but I shouldn't even let him come out to that song. He's like, he's just trying to be a goof or something, like...
Yeah.
So he's short of shitting on Herman. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, you know, it didn't seem like he liked his attitude, you know what I mean?
Yeah. But, yeah, so hopefully he doesn't get cut. Stefan Struve, he's looking good. I don't know who they're going to put him up against next.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe Travis Brown after he fights, what's his name?
He already got knocked the fuck up by Struve. I'm Brown, remember?
Oh, yeah, that's true. Not Travis Brown. Yeah, he did. What am I talking about? Fucking the,
Leah Litt, son.
Yeah, I know I am. The Superman punch, obviously, I remember that.
What are you smoking on over there, Dukes, huh?
The OG Sour Berry, son, I'm roasted.
OG Sour Berry?
Yeah. Sounds nobody tell you what is good for you. Are you alone or you're just pulling? Put him up against him.
Stipe, yeah, that would be a good fight.
Yeah, it'd be decent.
I'd like to see that. Stipe actually looked good, real good.
Yeah.
That dude filled the fries or whatever. He's never been knocked out or whatever, and he just fucking ran through him.
Yeah, that guy's pretty good, Stipe.
43 seconds into that fight, first round.
Yeah.
Stipe almost got knocked out, or whatever his name is, Stipe.
Oh, yeah, Stipe, whatever.
Yeah, people know who we're talking about. You know who the fuck we're talking about, people out there.
Yeah. Guy rocking the crow crop shorts.
This time he had to actually, like, just get, like, some real shorts, put some sponsors on there. But he still had the flag, like, on there. But, yeah, he looked good. Aaron Simpson lost to Ronnie Marks, or Honey Marks.
Yeah, Ronnie Marks looked like a beast.
Yeah, split decision. I heard Aaron Simpson might drop down to middleweight now. So that's pretty crazy. TJ Dillashaw.
Well, that was a middleweight fight. He might drop down to welterweight, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because Ronnie Marks dropped down from late. Remember, because he fought...
Famella?
He beat Famella. He destroyed him, and then he fucking moved down a weight, and he looked real good, middleweight.
After that, we had TJ Dillashaw taking on Wale Watson, or whatever that dude's name is.
Yeah, Wale Watson.
He just was all over him on the ground.
Just
fucking destroyed him on the ground, basically. That guy, like, landed, like, crazy amount of punches. Like, the significance, the difference was crazy.
Oh, I know. It was like...
So they were showing the strikes. It was like 100-6 after the first
round. Yeah, I know. It was retarded. I remember
saying. Ivan Menjivar and John Albert putting on a sick fight.
That was...
I defeated Albert. Submission, rear naked choke, round.
Was that fight of the night, or was the Diego one?
Yeah, Diego and Albert got fight of the night. That's just basically probably because of the bigger names, too.
Well, yeah. It
went longer, you know.
Five rounds,
But, yeah.
That was a war, though. That would have gone fight of the night.
Yeah, good fights. Jonathan Brookins, he knocked out that dude Wagner Rocha.
Yeah, I took Brookins, remember that?
Yeah, that was crazy. I did not see a knockout coming from
him. Yeah, I didn't see him knocking him out.
Well, the way he pounded him out on the ground was, like, sick, too. Like, he
was
pounding the shit out of him.
For the chin, yeah. He kept wrapping him right on the chin.
The other two fights on Facebook went to decision. I didn't catch those ones, so.
Yeah, I think we saw like one or two of them, like the end of the last ones, and we weren't really paying attention. It was like when you first got to my home.
Yeah, and then we're gonna review UFC 144 in a minute. We're gonna get Texas Jeff in here, and he's gonna also preview it with us. So let me call him in here. We'll get him in here in a second. Just gonna play this Razor Wire ad real quick.
Smoking on that Alabama Kush.
Integrity. Perseverance. Self-control. Indomitable spirit.
RazorWire.com.
The home of MMA life. MMA life.
Shit, raise away our buddy fucking Neil Grover rocks that shit.
That's right. Everyone go check him out. Raise away MMA. Calling Texas.
Sure, he'll be back in the Bellator fucking. I don't know if he'll be in the tournament, but I'm sure he'll be.
I hope so. I knew he took a fight short notice. So they like let him back in.
Oh. Getting stood up by a fan.
Texas.
Mailbox 4.
Hey, yeah.
Is full. Please try again later.
No Texas Jeff.
What's up, Jeff? Call us back. What the fuck?
So, everyone, if you've listened to the show before, you probably heard Texas Jeff calling. He usually calls in and previews the cards with us. I told him I'd give him a call, but maybe he's busy. Maybe
yeah,
he's
wasn't somebody else supposed to call up and argue about rankings or something?
Yeah, I never got back to that kid, though. I never got busy with shit.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we'll do that eventually.
Yeah, I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, because I do want to start debating with you motherfuckers out there. If we got anybody listening right now and you feel like calling in and chatting it up with us, you call in right now. The number
shit on our rankings right to our face like you always do on the computer.
I know, right? So actually,
be a man
and do it through
computer.
The phone. The number is 310-742-1799. So got a question, want to chop it up with us, talk about UFC 144, feel free to call in.
I never respond on the computer. It's just pointless at this point. Yeah, I have Alistair Overeem at number one. I've had him there for a while. I'm not going to change it. It'd be stupid to. At this point, he's fighting for the fucking championship. And what if he beats Dos Santos and then people are going to call me an idiot? Like,
yeah.
I mean, oh, yeah, you should have had Dos Santos ranked before. Why not? I think he's better than Dos Santos. I think he's more experienced, I think, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah. All right, well, fuck the rankings right now. Let's get into UFC 144.
Yeah, that's
true. Wait till when the fans
Texas,
call in.
What's up? Call us up. I want to hit the sour OG in your honor.
Who?
I said Texas Jeff, call up.
I thought you said Hector.
No, Texas Jeff.
Who the fuck's Hector?
Hector. Hector's
Texas,
my boy.
Texas Hector. All right. UFC 144, mad Japanese dudes fighting on this card, for real.
Yeah, obviously. I don't know why they do that, though. I mean, they should put some Japanese guys on there, but it's like the Brazil cards. They stack it with Brazilian dudes. Like, they don't have to do every fight like a Brazilian guy has to be. You know what I mean? Like, how else are you going to build up guys, you know what I'm saying, in other countries if you're not going to put... Because, like, Rampage is popular over in Japan, you know?
Yeah.
This guy, like, Dan Henderson, this guy's, like, Fedor, like, that are popular in Japan that aren't Japanese, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah. All right, let's get into UFC 144.
I'm kind of glad that's why Rampage is on the card, you know what I mean?
Yeah, me too. We're going to get Daniel Strauss in here in about 10 or 15 minutes, so we're going to run through UFC 144 right now. Starting off the prelims in Facebook, that dude, the Mongolian Wolf, I believe that's him, right?
Yeah.
On Taekwon or whatever?
Taekwon Jean, whatever, how you say his fucking name.
He's fighting some dude, Sassy Tamara. This dude's from Shudo. I believe, so...
Oh, really?
I don't know too much about him, though, so I'm going to have to go with the Mongolian Wolf, just based on... I've seen him fight before, so...
Well, yeah, he's a beast, too. I mean, he's beating
Gaza.
He's fucking good. Yeah, I think he only has one loss, too. I mean, he's, like, fucking 18-1 or 17-1 or something crazy. But, yeah, I'm going to go with the Mongolian Wolf, too.
Yeah, he's 15-2.
15-2?
Two decision losses, but that's...
Oh, fine. Yeah.
Moving on to the prelims on FX, we got Mizugaki versus Chris Carioso.
Hey, Mizugaki.
Yeah, I gotta go with Mizugaki in this fight.
Against who?
Chris Carioso.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Mizugaki. Chris Carioso is a good fighter, but Mizugaki's not gonna lose in Japan, I don't think.
No, definitely not.
He's a good fighter, too. He's a beast, Mizugaki.
Yeah. Next fight, we got Ricky Fukuda versus Steve Cantwell. Who you like in this fight?
I'm gonna go with Cantwell. I think Ricky Fukuda is pretty good, but I'm gonna go with Cantwell.
Cantwell?
Yeah.
I'm gonna go with that dude, Ricky Fukuda. He's fighting in Japan. Hometown advantage. That dude Cantwell didn't look good in his last fight either. I thought he was gonna look good making his like middleweight debut against Vicenzio, and he didn't look that good.
No, he didn't.
So that's another reason I'm not gonna go with him.
Yeah.
All right. Next fight we got Kid Yamamoto taking on Von Lee. Who you got in this fight? Before I get my pick.
I mean, I gotta go with Kid Yamamoto just because I'm a huge fan of him. I mean, I want to see him get back on the winning track. I mean, he was ranked one of the best featherweights in the world when he was at featherweight. Now he's at bantamweight, but I just want him to get back on the winning track, so I'm going to go with Yamamoto.
Yeah, I'm going with Yamamoto, too. He was a beast at one point. He was, like, the number one ranked dude in bantamweight in the world.
No, he was the number one featherweight in the world at one point.
Oh, yeah, until Joe Warren came over and fucking smashed
right.
him. But, yeah, he definitely needs to get a win because he's... hasn't even got a win in the UFC yet. He lost his debut to Demetrius Johnson, and then he lost that dude, Darren Yuma, whatever his name is.
Yeah, Yuminora.
Yeah. I fucking can't say dude's name, so shit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'm going with Kid Yamamoto. Hope to see him get in the, back in the win column. Next fight, we got Takanori Gomi versus Iyajai Mizuka. I have no idea who this dude is. I think he's fun. I think maybe I have seen him. I don't know. Oh, he's fighting in Pride back in the day.
What's his name?
I don't even want to pronounce it. It's like E-I-J-I, and then it's Mitsuyoka.
Mitsuyoka?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's got a shitload of fights, though. He's fighting all over the place, it seems. But I'm definitely going to have to go with Gomi.
Yeah, I'm going to
because I'm a huge Gomi fan. I mean, the fight in Japan, too, so it's like...
Yeah, hopefully Gomi can win. I mean, he has been...
He's looked shitty.
Yeah, he hasn't been in his fucking,
In his last four fights, he won one of them against Tyson Griffin. He knocked him out.
Right, and he hasn't been, you know, himself since back in the old Pride era.
Yeah,
so.
He's been submitted three of those four fights, so.
Yeah.
Jesus.
So I'm going to go with Gomi, but hopefully he can get back on the win column.
Yeah, definitely. All right, moving on to the main pay-per-view card. Starting off the pay-per-view, we got Anthony Pettis versus Joe Lauzon. This is going to be a crazy lightweight bout.
Yeah.
Duke, so I'm going to throw it over to you first.
Okay, I'm going to go with Pettis just because, you know, I think he can definitely, you know, Lauzon had a good game plan when he went in there with Melvin Gallard. You know, he showed me that he improved in the stand-up when he rocked him, and then, you know, I ended up submitting him on the ground because Lauzon, I mean, Gallard doesn't have that good a ground game at all, obviously. But I think Pettis is, you know, his fucking jiu-jitsu is, you know, his top par, you know, he has a fucking sick guard, his fucking triangle, the triangles he throws up are sick, you know, I can't see fucking Joe Lauzon tapping out Pettis on the ground. I think Pettis has the clear advantage on the feet, so I'm definitely going to go with Pettis by either, you know, TKO or probably, I don't even know, probably maybe submission.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Joe Lauzon in this fight.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I think it might go to a decision, but I think Joe Lauzon could maybe possibly catch him, TKO him, just because he's looking real nice with his hands lately. Because even the fight before that, the Melvin Gallard fight, he fucking landed a sick combo where he knocked that dude out or knocked him on the ground or whatever. So I know Pettis is a fucking wicked. He's mad fast and he's working on his wrestling. He's gonna be happy to knock him out. I want
to see. I'm not saying he caught fucking Gallard with a lucky jab, but I just think Gallard kind of ran into it.
Yeah, that too. But Lauzon.
I don't think Pettis is. He's more smart when he fights, you know. I don't know.
Lauzon's stand up, just saying, is looking a lot better than when he fought, like, G saw it. Like, he looked like shit in that fight. But, like, just saying, it looks like he's a press thought.
And Pettis' wrestling is looking better since he's been training with Ben Askren, so. I gotta go with Pettis.
Yeah, I'm kind of just pulling for Massachusetts boy on this one, so.
Yeah, I hate going against Lauzon because he is from Massachusetts, but he keeps fighting these guys that I like, so.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, not that I'm saying I don't like him, but I just think Pettis is going to win. You know, I thought Pettis was eventually going to be the champ one day, and he still could be.
Yeah, definitely. It's going to be a sick fight, though.
No, it's going to be a war, yeah.
All right, next fight we got Hatsu Hayoki taking on Bob Palaszewski.
Palaszewski, yep.
Yeah, we had him on the show, actually.
Yep.
Right before he took on Tyson Griffin. He knocked Tyson Griffin the fuck out.
Yeah, he did. He fucking beasted him.
Yeah. I really think I'm hoping Bart can get a victory. I mean, this is a tough featherweight fight for him for his second fight.
It is tough.
Like, one of the best-ranked dudes in the world. Arguably, some guys think he's probably number one. But
I don't think he's number one because, you know, you got to go.
Yeah.
You're only as good as your last fight. And if you look at Aoki's last fight against fucking Roop, he didn't look that good, you know?
Yeah, he could have lost that fight in some people's eyes.
Right.
But I definitely got to go with Bart. Bartimus all day.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Bartimus, man, too. I hope he can make the upset in Japan. You know, Aoki is good. He is good stand-up. He stand with Marlon Sandro for 5 rounds, so I think his stand-up's good enough to stand with Palaszczuk. I just think Palaszczuk has he has more power, you know. He moved down in weight, you know what I mean? So definitely a dangerous fight for Aoki. So I'm going to go with Palaszczuk.
Yeah, I got to do it. Like, I don't think Hayoki's going to be able to knock him out for some reason. I don't know.
No, I don't think so either. I think, you know, he's been in so many fights. He has a lot of decision losses. Palaszczuk, you know. I think he's been TKO a couple times, but I don't know. He's a beast. He's been looking good lately, you know.
Yeah. All right, next fight we got Okami taking on Tim Boach.
That's obviously an upset, you know. Like,
oh, yeah, all day.
Sure, a lot of people are taking Hayoki.
This is a really step-up of competition for Tim Boach in the middleweight division. Taking on Okami.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
Okami just fought Anderson Silva for the title.
Right.
And so far in middleweight, Tim Boach has only fought Kendall Grove and Nick Green. And now he's taking on arguably the guy who was like the number 2 or 3 middleweight.
Right. It's definitely a step up in competition for Tim Boach. Yeah, definitely.
He's fighting Okami in Japan. It's going to definitely be a fucking really tough fight for him. I don't know how the plane ride's going to affect him, like being over there. Like these American dudes who never fought over Japan before. I wonder how the time difference is going to be on, like, affect them, you know, the jet lag and shit.
I want Boach to win. I just don't think he's going to be able to. I think Okami's going to be able to grind him with the wrestling, and I just think he's going to end up probably winning by decision.
Yeah, that's probably what's going to happen, but I'm going to pull for Boach. Let's see how it happens.
I want to take Okami just because I'm picking smart, I guess.
Yeah, just because you're going to try to get a good record this time.
No,
because I remember, like, we're talking about we're trying to get, like, our records, like, good each pay-per-view card, but...
Oh, yeah, try to at least pick some out of there.
But I'm still
sometimes
not...
you got to go... Sometimes you just go with the guy you like, you know. Like, obviously, Lozon could win against Pettis, but I think Pettis is pretty much better in all aspects, so I'm going to go with... And I like Pettis better, so I'm going to go with Pettis there, but...
Yeah, if you're a betting man and you look at the odds, Pettis probably, you know...
He probably has it on paper, but who knows, you know what I mean?
Yeah. All right, moving on to the next fight, we got Akiyama taking on Jake Shields. I believe this is Akiyama's welterweight debut.
Right.
This is Jake Shields' first fight back since being knocked the fuck out by Ellenberger. I'm going to go with Akiyama in this fight.
Yeah.
I just think he won't be like the bigger, stronger guy because Jake Shields can move up to middleweight too, so. I don't know. I just think Akiyama probably hits harder than Jake Shields too.
Yeah, I do too, but I just think... Jake Shields probably realized he has to work on a stand-up if he's going to be in the UFC, you know what I mean? It looked like he did before he fought GSP, you know, looked like he started to get a little better, so hopefully he's been working on a stand-up, and I want to go with Jake Shields.
Jake Shields, huh?
Yeah, Akiyama just seems like he can't...
He's a Gracie Jiu-Jitsu?
I got to go with my fucking boys at the fucking scrap pack, but... it just seems like Akiyama, like... can't get a break in the UFC. I don't even really think he won that Alan Belcher fight at UFC 100. I thought that was kind of a little controversial, but, I mean, my boy Alan Belcher, I thought won that fight, but Akiyama has only won that one fight in the UFC, and then all his other fights he's lost, so he definitely has to win this fight, or he's probably going to get cut, because you got to figure this fight's in Japan, and they're only using him because it's in Japan, so if he loses this fight, he's probably going to get a cut, you know what I mean?
Yeah, most likely, because they brought him over
with a lot of hype,
too. It's
not like they're
going
to go back to Japan next fucking month or something.
No, I know. They brought him over with a lot of hype, too, and, like, he hasn't let
He was one of the most overhyped guys, wicked hyped up guys in Japan, you know what I mean? And at least he came over and, you know, fought the top talent and just, you know, couldn't really prove himself, but who, you know. All
right.
Just like Gomi.
Yeah. Speaking about Belcher, though, he's taking on Paul Harris pretty on the UFC on Fox card. So
yeah, your boy.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that fight. Before we get Daniel Strauss in here, we got to finish up talking about UFC 144. We're going to call him in about 5 minutes, talk about his upcoming fight, March 9th for Bellator. But let's move on to the next fight. It's a heavyweight fight between Mark Hunt and Chuck Congo. I'm going with Mark Hunt in this fight. I'm not a really big Chuck Congo fan. You know, he's an intimidating-looking guy. He's never really impressed me that much inside the octagon, besides the fight with Pat Barry, but he was got his ass kicked and then just luckily came back from that. I mean, he showed a lot of heart, but I got to go with Mark Hunt in this fight just because he's a heavy hitter. I like watching that guy fight. He's not going to try to take you to the ground and wrestle the shit out of you. He's going to try to knock you the fuck out, so.
Right.
Got to go with Mark Hunt.
I'm going to go with Mark Hunt, too. You know, he's a K-1 level striker. He doesn't have that good of an MMA record. But, you know, Chicago, I think, is, you know, a little overhyped. You know, he hasn't really done anything in the UFC. He has a couple of good wins, but besides that, you know, he got lucky in that Barry fight, like you said. And, yeah, I'm going to go with Hunt. I just think he's a tougher guy all around. I think he can take more punishment.
Moving on to the co-main event, we got Quentin Rampage Jackson coming back to Japan. He was begging to be on this card.
Yep.
Taking on Ryan Bader. Bader's coming off a win over, who the hell did he just knock out? Gotta check that real quick. Oh, Jason Brills. He knocked out Jason Brills in like just over a minute. Interesting fight. These guys are both heavy hitters. They both got a solid wrestling background. I'm going Rampage all day, though. He's just going to be really hungry. And he said win, lose, or draw. He just wants to put on a good fight. So that's the attitude he should have.
Yeah, I got to go with Rampage. You know, he said he wanted this fight in Japan. He said he wanted Shogun at first, so, and they gave him Bader. He just wanted to fight, but I definitely think he's going to win. You know, I think he has the takedown defense to keep it on the feet, and I think he's obviously a better striker than Bader. I mean, if fucking Tito's knocking Bader on his ass, you know, I just think, you know, Rampage is going to win all day, probably TKO.
Yeah, if Rampage clips him, it's good night. I just can't wait to see Rampage fight over there in Japan again, because I think he's going to come out, like, really aggressive.
Yeah, he's definitely going to have that that state of mind that he's in Japan. He wants to excite the Japanese audience.
Yeah, he was begging to be. I remember when they showed, like, the vlog, like, one of those Dana White vlogs. You right over there, Dukes?
Yeah.
You dropping shit? What's going on?
Nah, I was blowing my nose, sorry.
There you go. Blowing your nose on air. Real professional, Dukes.
I was doing it off the phone. That's what I'm
on.
You still heard, though.
I forgot how to say that. What was his name?
I don't even know. Something about Rampage.
Yeah, whatever. Let's move on to the main event. Because we're both going on Rampage anyways.
Yeah.
All right. Main event. Frankie Edgar.
Yeah, I want to sound professional when I'm talking to the freaking. I'm all fucking stuffed up right now. Fucking.
Job talk, son. We do. Drinking beers and smoking.
Job talk.
Blowing our noses.
Drinking beers, blowing our noses, smoking bong.
Lightweight championship, main event, Frankie Edgar taking on Ben Henderson. I'm really pumped for this fight. Who are you taking in this fight? I'll let you just say it first before I
go. All right, let me go off.
I've been, like, thinking back and forth all day.
I'm going to go with Frankie Edgar. I mean, Ben Henderson's a tough guy. I just think, you know, I thought Frankie Edgar was going to lose to BJ Penn. I thought he was going to lose to Gray Maynard. I mean, he's proven me wrong every time, and it seems like his kid can't get knocked out, so the only way Ben Henderson is going to be able to finish him is, I think, submission, and I don't see that happening. So I'm going to go with Frankie Edgar, probably by decision.
Frankie Edgar by decision, huh?
Yep.
Yeah, see, I always pick against Frankie Edgar, too, and somehow he just keeps coming back. And after those, like, two fights with Gray Maynard where he just got destroyed the first round and didn't get put out,
right,
it's hard to see how anyone else is going to do that to him. But I don't know if Ben Henderson doesn't have probably not as good as power as Gray Maynard, but.
And I think Frankie Edgar trains with a better striker. You know, he trains with Eddie Alvarez. He's a fucking ex-champ of his own. He's a beast, you know. So I think it's going to be hard for Ben Henderson to.
Well, you know what? I think Ben Henderson's going to do differently than Gray. I think he's going to use the cage a lot, and I think he's going to be grinding him a lot on the ground.
He could be, but Frankie Edgar's got good wrestling, too, so it's going to be a good fight.
Ben's going to have to use his size. He's a big lightweight.
That's the only thing he has in this fight is the size because, you know, Frankie looks like a small lightweight, which he is. He can fight a featherweight, and Ben Henderson's a big lightweight, so.
So you're taking Edgar's decision?
I'm taking Edgar's decision, but it's definitely going to be a war. I wouldn't be surprised if Ben Henderson won. I mean, WEC guys have been fucking tearing it up lately.
Yeah, I got to go with Ben Henderson. I mean, I'm just going to keep going with tradition. Fuck it. I'm going to still go against Edgar. He'll probably win because I did that, but I'm hoping Ben Henderson pulls it off. I mean, we've been a huge fan of this dude. Just because he lost that decision to Pettis because he got kicked, Showtime kicked in the face.
In my opinion, I would probably like Ben Henderson to
win.
Probably, you know, I would like him to have the title more. I'm going to go smart. I'm going to go with my gut. I want to go with Frankie Edgar.
Yeah.
Definitely could go either way, though. They're definitely both beasts. The lightweight division has been fucking mixed up lately, like, really bad as of late. You know, everybody's been losing. Everybody that's like, oh, this guy's going to be the next champ has just been, you know, it's been losing, you know. Like, Melvin Gallard, nobody saw him losing.
So then Jim Miller lost. So
Jim Miller lost. He was seven. He won seven in a row, and he lost. So I mean, it's just it's crazy. That's definitely the division that, you know, in 2 years you have no idea who the champ's going to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's definitely a stacked pay per view. I'm looking forward to it. Interesting to see him back in Japan. I'm looking forward to see the Japan crowd to see how they react to the UFC fighters. And just the setup of it, because, you know, they're not accustomed to the cage. They're not used to that shit. Just the whole production value is going to be different, too.
Right.
So I'm just interested to see how Japan responds to them. But, I mean, they've been there before, back in 97. I think the Randy Couture beat Maurice Smith for the heavyweight title back on that card. So.
Right. Yeah, UFC Japan, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm going to call Daniel Shaw, so I'm going to get him in here right now. He's taking on Jeremy Spoon, March 9th, Bellator featherweight tournament.
Nice.
He made it to the featherweight tournament finals last time. We got Patricio Fiore. Lost the decision.
I'm definitely glad that Bellator's coming back, though. You know, it's, you know, every weekend there's going to be MMA.
Yeah, definitely.
Hello?
Hey, Daniel, what's going on, brother? It's MMA Topics Radio. We got you live on the air.
All right. What's up, man? How you doing?
Good, man. I just want to say thanks for coming on the show, man. And you excited to be fighting in another Bellator tournament?
Oh, extremely, man. Extremely excited.
Yeah, and you're fighting undefeated Jeremy Spoon, 12-0. This is on March 9th. And you're fighting a guy with no blemishes on his record. Does that add a little more fuel to the fire, like, to go out there and hand him his first loss?
I wouldn't say it adds fuel. Just, you know, it makes me, I don't know, it's just like you know, my first opponent in the last tournament was 19-0, and it's like, you know, I have to look past that to zero, you know what I mean? I have to find, you know, what other fighters haven't been able to find, and, you know, within a skill set that I can capitalize on. So, you know, it just...
Yeah. So what is, like, actually look at, like, a weakness or anything, you know?
Say what?
Because there's no footage to go back and, like, look to see where he's been caught in the past, you know?
Right, right. You know what I mean? And there's little to go off of. So, you know, when you're going in fighting guys like that, you very rarely do know what their weaknesses are. You know what I mean? So,
yeah.
You know, it just, when you get in a fight like that, you just got to come with, you know, the most intensity and, you know, the biggest will and, you know, just make sure that I do the things that I got to do to win the fight.
Are you training down in Florida with ATT for this fight? Are you preparing for this fight with Team Vision?
No, I'm at home with Team Vision. I really, really want to go. I didn't get to make plans for going down to ATT for this fight due to some things going on at home. So, you know, training's been good. I've made the most of it. You know, it's going great. It's fine. You know, I love it.
So, how's the cut from featherweight to from lightweight, Ben? I mean, from lightweight to featherweight, Ben. Has it been tough, or do you have a good strict diet?
Yeah, it's been tough, man. It you know, sometimes you have your good days and sometimes you have your bad days. But you know, once I get to a weight that I'm usually comfortable at, I like to stay around that weight, and you know, seeing how these tournaments are, you know, quick. You don't really get to balloon up and then cut a whole bunch of weight. So, you know, my diet's pretty, you know, strict. And I like I said, I stay around a certain weight. And, you know, as long as I'm staying busy, staying exercising and, you know, doing, you know, training and everything, my weight stays low. So, you know, that's...
Right,
that,
yeah, because when you're in tournaments, you got to constantly stay in the gym because, I mean, you fight like a month later, right? So you're just constantly staying in the gym.
Right, right. You know what I mean? So there is no double time until the tournament's over.
Right.
So if the opportunity presents itself, would you go down to ATT for if you make it past Jeremy Spoon and, like, prepare for another fight in the tournament, or you just plan on sticking the whole tournament out with your home camp?
Right now the plan is to, you know what I mean, you know, do my camp here for right now to my first fight, see how my first fight goes, and then, you know, if things get better up here, then try to get down there for my, you know, and get down there for camp, and, you know, because, you know, down there is great. They have a bunch of great guys. We have a bunch of great guys at home as well, you know what I mean? But, you know, with the competition being so stiff and so, you know what I mean, so such a powerhouse tournament, you know, I don't want to, like, I just want to make sure I'm with the most, you know what I mean, well run the guys to get around and, you know, and make sure I get to the top of this tournament.
Right. Yeah, speaking of this being a powerhouse tournament, who do you think is the most dangerous guy in the upcoming featherweight tournament? Because, I mean, you got Marlon Sandro, Wagney Fabiano, and Ronnie Mann. Those are some tough guys.
Right. You know, I feel like everybody's eyes is on, you know, one of those three guys. And, you know, it's just like, you know, everybody in this tournament is so tough. You know what I mean? Like you said,
right.
Fabiano and Mann and Sandro. And, you know what I mean? You got Spoon, he's undefeated, and, you know,
right.
A few other guys. And it's just like, it's really
hard.
Finals
last year, too.
Right,
so.
You know what I mean? It's hard to sit and say like, yeah, this guy make it and this guy won't, because you know, with this tournament,
yeah, you never know. Right.
Now another thing I want to ask you is having dreadlocks an inconvenience? Because I know Brian Rogers had to cut his recently because he was claiming that Shlemenko was pulling his during the fight. So you're gonna be rocking the dreadlocks this tournament?
I am. I've thought about cutting my hair, but. You know, I just have my hair for, you know, my own reasons, you know. And sometimes it does get in the way of fighting. Sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it helps. Sometimes it doesn't. You know what I mean? So it can go either way. You know what I mean? Sometimes when I get to boxing and get really sweaty, my hair gets in my face and it sucks. So, you know, I just find ways around it, you know.
Well, have you ever felt like I want to put you in a clinch? Do you think he's ever holding your hair? Has anyone ever tried to pull that before, like pull your hair?
Not intentionally. I haven't had anyone pull my hair intentionally for as long as I know. You know what I mean? Like, I always take it as salt of grain and, you know, keep rocking, you know, because they're going to have to pull every last one of my dreads out for me to stop, you know. So
yeah, nah.
Cool.
Yeah, there you go. Keep rocking them. Yeah, I was surprised when that dude Brian Rogers cut him because, like, that's his whole gimmick. He calls himself the Predator and shit, so...
All right.
Another thing, in October you unified the NAAFS Pro Series Lightweight Championship by beating Jason Dent, and I want to say congrats on that, but do you plan on maybe going back there and defending that title in the downtime between the featherweight tournament, because I know Bellator gives you the freedom to go fight at other organizations?
Yeah, I definitely want to. I'm actually, like, when I'm not fighting for Bellator, when I'm outside of the tournament, or, you know, any other, you know, things I'm doing for the tournament, and they allow me to fight outside, I definitely try to get more fights. And the NAFS guys have been great, you know what I mean? The whole staff up there, Greg Kalikas and Nicole Long, and, you know, all those guys up there, they're really great people, and, you know, it's good talent up there as well, you know what I mean, for that organization. So it's like, it's pretty much a win-win for me, you know what I mean? I still get to fight tough guys. I still get to fight, you know what I mean, guys that, you know, matter in this sport for them. And then I still get to, you know what I mean, showcase what I can do and then step over to Bellator and, you know, continue doing my, you know, success.
Right, yeah, I know you like to fight a lot. If it was up to you, how many times would you fight a year, you think?
Dude, I would fight every day if I could. Long and healthy, I would fight. But I mean, realistically, I would love to get, you know, 5, 6, you know, 7 fights a year if I could. You know what I mean? I would love to.
Wow, that's nuts.
Yeah, speaking of having a lot of fights, because you're gonna be fighting this upcoming tournament, do you prepare any differently when you're fighting for a tournament, like to like reduce injury risk? Do you like try not to train so hard, or not do certain training methods?
No, not really. I kind of, you know, while we're going through it, it's kind of like any other camp, you know what I mean? You just go through it, kind of be safe, but you got to have to work, you know what I mean?
Right.
You know, I do a lot of ice baths, you know what I mean, keep my body down from injury and, you know what I mean? So, you know, I just prepare like any other. I think the only change, like I said, would probably be doing more ice baths than I usually do.
All right, man. Another thing I wanted to ask you is, you have a loss to Pat Curran. He's fighting Bellator featherweight champ Joe Warren on the same card. And would you like a rematch with Curran in the future? Because I know you fought him. It was like at lightweight, and plus you fought a few days before then. So would that rematch interest you in the future?
Yeah, definitely. you know what I mean? Like I've told other people, you know, it's no beef with Louis, but, you know, I just think he's a great fighter. He's, and, you know, he's at the top of the list. You know, he's a guy that holds, you know, a better record and, you know, better, you know, rankings than me. And for me to get to where I need to be, you know, I need to fight guys like Pat Kern. And,
yeah,
you know,
he's definitely a tough guy. I mean, Marlon Sandro was taking it to him, and then all of a sudden he just landed a beautiful head kick out of nowhere and just put him off.
Right, right. You know what I mean? And see, and that's the thing. Like, you can never count, you know what I mean? You can never count, you know, Pat out, and you can't
right.
count any of the other guys out, and that's what makes, you know, these guys so good. So, you know, losing
right.
to Pat, and, you know, a couple years ago, it just made me train harder. You know what I mean? It made me just work harder. It made me reach out to, you know, different, you know, ways of training. And, you know, once I got to a certain, you know, establishment and I got to where I thought I needed to do more, you know what I mean? I would move more, you know what I mean? Do more, see more people and get more learning, you know what I mean? Because that's what I need to do to, you know, be just as good as Pat and just as good as, you know, the rest of the guys in the field.
Yeah, plus you took that, you had that fight a few days before you fought him, so would you have any injuries going into that first fight? Or?
I can't remember, but I'm sure I did. You know
yeah,
what I mean? Not that that's the reason, not that that's the reason why I lost. You know what I mean? He actually hit me with a clean, clean right hand. And actually, if you ask me my opinion at the time, I think my problem going into that fight was just I wasn't expecting as, you know, technical and experienced as he was, you know what I mean? My boxing really wasn't up to par, you know, like his was when we first met, you know what I mean? So, you know, he had way better hands than I did. And so,
yeah.
you know, that's how he was.
Yeah, he's taking on Joe Warren for the featherweight championship. Do you think he's going to be able to take him out?
Do I think Pat will beat Joe or Joe will beat Pat?
Do you think Pat will beat Joe?
In my opinion, man, I see Pat winning because he's just a lot bigger. You know what I mean? He's just a lot bigger. But you know, Joe Warren's one of those guys, again, you can't count out. You know what I mean? You can wreck his day up, and then you can turn around and he'll still be standing there. You know what I mean? So, you know, again, that's another guy you can't count out. So it'll be fun to see this fight. I can't, you know, wait to see this fight. But yeah, you know, I think Pat will edge out a win over him.
Yep. Now, it seems like the Bellator has the featherweight division, the lightweight division, the most, you know, it seems like they have the most talent to me. Who do you think has the most stacked division, the featherweight or the lightweight division? Because I think they're up there with the UFC, if you ask me.
I would say our featherweight, man. You know, I don't mean to be biased about, you know, who we have. You know, here or whatnot, but you know, in my eyes, I just feel like, and again, you know, feather or lightweight is just as tough. You know what I mean? You know, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I told him, I was like, you can put our lineup, Bellator's 45 lineup, you know, with, you know, UFC lineup, you know, any day, and you know, each time you're going to get a war and a good fight, in my opinion. You know what I mean? And I just think, you know, a lot of our fighters, you know, rank up there with the best in the world. I think a lot of our fighters don't get the respect that we deserve or need, you know what I mean?
The other day they just announced a rematch with Aoki and
Eddie Alvarez,
so that's going to be a war, too. So now that Aoki's fighting in Bellator.
Yeah, that's pretty sick.
Right, and that's going to be an awesome fight. I just seen that today, you know what I mean? I can't wait for that fight, too. And that's the thing about Bellator, you know, they're not, you know, as the promotion grows, you know what I mean? They're putting on, you know, good fights, better fights. They're putting on, you know, fights that, you know, not just MMA fans want to see, but, you know, the world wants to see. You know what I mean? I think, you know, there's a lot of people that know who Eddie Alvarez is that really doesn't follow, you know, the fight world. And I think there's people that know who Aoki is that doesn't really get, you know, too mainstream in the MMA, but I think that's something that they both want to watch, you know what I mean, that people want to watch.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just great to see that. Go ahead.
Yeah, even before UFC was focusing on, like, the featherweights and bantamweights, Bellator was doing that, you know?
Yeah, right, exactly. And they definitely have the bantamweights even, you know, have beasts too, you know.
Yeah.
Dantes, you know, there's I mean, it's good. The Bellator definitely has a bright future in my eyes. I mean, I definitely think they have they're the second best organization out there. Seems like Strikeforce has been slacking since Zuffa bought them. So, because I thought Strikeforce at one point was up there, Bellator, but no way, not anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think, like I said, you know, Bellator has brought in a bunch of great guys. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, look at Ronnie Mann. I knew who Ronnie Mann was before I started this tournament. You know what I mean? Ronnie Mann, you know, hasn't been in the UFC or anything, but he's one world-class fighter. You know what I mean? Marlon Sanders, same thing. You know what I mean? Wilson Reese.
Yeah, I've seen him fight Sengoku before over on HDNet.
Yeah.
Right. You know what I mean? So it's like there's a bunch of fighters that were, you know, that's in these tournaments. And you know, people aren't realizing, like, you know, I've heard people say, well, who are these guys? You know what I mean? Like, I've never heard of them. It's like, well, you know, you probably don't watch, you know, MMA as much as I do because I've heard of them.
Yeah,
you know
yeah,
I mean?
You got to look up Marlon Sandro YouTube clips over in, you know, in Sengoku when he's knocking guys out in 9 seconds. So, yeah.
Right.
There's a lot of beasts that Bellator picks up, and I'm glad they picked up Fabiano, too, because he was just over at the UFC after the – because he was signed to the WEC, and I think he lost one fight, and they cut him.
Yeah, and seeing and things like that, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, he, you know, we've all had setbacks. Well, not all of us, but, you know, for the most part in this sport, we've all had setbacks, and, you know, we have to get back on our horse and keep fighting again. And, you know, just because you have a setback doesn't mean that you're still not as good as, you know, people think you are or whatnot, and, you know, and it's great to have guys like that where people like, hey, you know, he's not much. He's had a setback, but, you know, they shine. You know what I mean? You know, last tournament I shined. I didn't shine as much as I wanted to, but, you know, people didn't know who I was, and I still feel like people don't know who I am. But, you know, coming in and not having really, you know, much steam behind me, and, you know, it's tournaments like this that just shows people that, you know, we are here. We're here to fight. We're here. We're just as good as, you know, anybody else, and you can get the job now.
Yeah, man, definitely can't wait to see you take on Jeremy Spoon March 9th. And thank you for coming on the show. If anybody want to shout out, sponsors, Twitter, any, feel free to do so right now.
I just want to give a shout out to, you know, all my friends, family, teammates, you know, trainers, coaches, anybody that's helped me along the way. It's greatly appreciated. You know, my family back home. I want to give a shout out to Michaela Lee. So, other than that, that's about it.
Yeah, man. I don't know if you picked out your walkout song yet, but I definitely think you should go with Notorious B.I.G. You know, he died on that day.
Yeah. You know, I thought about that too. You know what I mean? I'm like, you know, it might be fun to come out. Who knows?
There you go.
Come
on, do some Biggie. All right, man. Good luck last night, man.
All right, thank you, guys.
All right, take it easy. Hand that dude his first loss. All right, everyone. Daniel Strauss taking on Jeremy Spoon March 9th. Bellator featherweight tournament. Looking forward to it. Dude made it to the finals last time.
Yeah, dude's a beast. I mean, that was definitely a fucking good fight with him and Fury.
Yeah, it was a sick fight. It was, you know, Fury was going for a lot more takedowns against Daniel Strauss than expected. I thought he was be trying to stand up more with him, you know?
Right.
But he was actually, like, going for more takedowns and shit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, glad to see Daniel Strauss getting back in the cage. Can't wait for that. I love watching the featherweights over in Bellator anyway. It's mad excited, too, so.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to be getting Mark Miller in here in a few minutes.
Whatever happened with that Fury fight, fucking, and Joe Warren?
It never happened.
Yeah.
Because Warren got hurt or something, and then he took the fight with Pellegrino in the meantime.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck happened, because now isn't Curran slated to fight him, right? He's fighting him, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. What the fuck? Like, he just got fucked out of a fucking, like, you know what I mean? he got fucked out. I think what's his name got hurt, too? Patricio. I think he got hurt, too.
Yeah, maybe he'll get it further down the line or something.
I don't know. That's kind of fucked up, because that guy's a beast.
Yeah, he did kind of get fucked right there.
Yeah. It was weird. Now, they already fought before. They fought in the original
tournament. Yeah, it was a fucking war.
Yeah, it was. You know, I even thought Patricio might have won. It was back and forth, but, yeah, I mean, that was crazy. I was just thinking of that because you were saying, we were just talking about how Pat Carron and Joe Warren fight. I'm like, whatever happened in the fucking... I was like, that fight never happened.
Yeah, it's weird. Running a little bit late, so we're going to get Mark Miller in here in about 5 minutes. And Mark Miller, I don't know if you've ever seen this dude. If you're not really a kickboxing fan, you might not have heard about him. But you've probably seen him on Inside MMA if you're a diehard MMA fan like me and Dukes and watch that shit.
Yeah, if you see every episode of Inside MMA like we do.
Yeah, they've had him on there a few times. And his last opponent, I can't pronounce fucking names for shit, though, but Nikolaj Fallon, I believe it was. He knocked him out in 9 seconds with the right hook.
Yeah, that's impressive.
Yeah, and that was at United Glory 14. And right after that, he got picked up by the Golden Glory guys, and now he's fighting over with them. So.
Yeah, that's a Golden Glory. That's like that shit.
You're probably going to be seeing Mark Miller fight a lot over in these Golden Glory cards now.
Yeah. They haven't had one of those in a while. I wonder when the next one is.
Well, this United Glory one's fucking March 23rd.
Oh, that is United Glory? That's something that one?
Yeah.
Alright. I don't know if it was at Showtime.
He's taking on Sergei Kharitonov, however you want to pronounce it. Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. What are you ripping it up over there, Dukes? Am I hearing bubbles? Yep. Hearing some bubbles. Dukes is ripping it up. He had to order a new piece on Dukes because you fucked up your downstem.
Yep.
What's the name of the piece you got?
Oh, it's a Mobius bubble. The thing's sick. It's like a ready perk. Thing's crazy. Right. Aqualab, baby. Aqualab.com.
Check them out.
Aqualab Technologies.
Giving free shout-outs. While I give them free shout-outs, I might as well give out the shout-outs we're supposed to.
I wish we were sponsored by
that. MMAMadhouse.com. Mobsters Fight Gear. RazorwareMMA.com. Horror Page on Facebook. VigilanteMMA.com. NZMMABoston.com. BoneBreakers.com. www.drake.tv and MMAtopics.net.
If I was like Nick Diaz, I'd be sponsored by like Aqualab Technologies.
That'd be sick. So everyone go check out MMAtopics.net. Go check out all the affiliates. Like them on Facebook, follow them on Twitter. Go fuck with them. Because I told you to.
Oh, shit.
That's right. All right.
Kids telling you to because they'll fight you at a Webby concert.
That's right. I'll throw a cup full of goose and Sprite in your face. I think I'm tough.
This kid's definitely been watching too much Bad Girls. That's your fighting technique. I'll throw the drink first.
Oh, crazy them. Just like cause a scene until I get dragged out of there so I have to fight. But before we get Miller in here, I want to talk about a couple things that were announced this week. Tim Sylvia. Have you seen these YouTube videos he's been putting out trying to get back into the UFC?
I've heard about them. I haven't actually watched them because I could give a fuck less.
He put out like two of them, so I watched both of them.
I don't want to see him crying about how he should be in the UFC because he fucking thinks he should. He can't even make the weight, dude. Like,
yeah, he's bitching trying. It's like, dude, they're not just going to bring you back. Why don't you fucking get yourself together and like start stringing together some impressive victories, and then they'll probably bring you back.
Yeah, because his last fight didn't look impressive. Whenever Bumfuck League was in on HCN, I saw.
And then he was like complaining about the Abe Wagner fight on the thing, like saying that he wasn't knocked out and his leg blew out, that's why he fell. He's like, I wasn't even in shape for those fights because I didn't care because I wasn't fighting in the UFC. Like, dude, well, guess what? So what do you expect the UFC to bring you back not in shape, dude? Like,
you haven't been, like, even the last couple fights in the UFC, you weren't that good of shape like you were, like, when you were fucking beating Rico Rodriguez for the championship. Like, you were in actually pretty good shape, like... You had a good camp, like, you know, but now it's just over, pretty much. Militech, dude, that's when Militech ran shit, you know what I mean, the camp. Fucking Hughes was the champ, freaking Sylvia. They were freaking beast and shit.
I'd like to see Sylvia get one more shot in the UFC, so, like, if he does, like, can get his shit together and get a few fights, a few wins, like, fuck it, give him another shot.
Yeah.
Just because he's, like, he wants, like, one more fight, just give him his one more fight. You know, he did do a lot for the UFC heavyweight division back in the day.
Well, at least Andre Arlovski is, like, in shape, and he's trying to get back the right way. Like, Tim Sylvia just looks like a fucking fat wolf now. Oh, Bubble City. Kid, you're lucky I got multiple... You're lucky I got multiple smoking devices in my apartment. It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, Dukes don't play around, son.
Yeah, they're clean, too, unlike your shitty fucking dirty ones.
Keeps these things crystal clean. And yeah, oh, about Arlovski, yeah, he's actually a professional. He still looks in good shape.
Well, yeah, I mean, he still looks in good shape. He's, you know, I think he's fighting for, Pro Elite now or whatever. He's trying to get back. The UFC.
Yeah, he actually knocked that dude out with the head kick that Travis Fulton did.
Travis Fulton, yeah. The guy that's fought like 800 times.
I can't even picture a fucking Tim Sylvia throwing a head kick.
I know, right? I've seen him do it. I mean, he's knocked out fucking that guy, Tron.
Yeah, I mean now, though. I mean back...
No, not now. Yeah, he's a fucking...
He used to have to work to be in shape, too. Like, when he had, like, that flat chest, he still looked kind of flabby.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but he still was, like, you could tell he was in shape. Like, now he's not in any type of fighting shape whatsoever.
Yeah.
He just looks like he's putting on gloves and shorts and fucking waddling his fat ass in there with no fucking technique at all because he's fucking too fat.
He's
just shitting on Tim Sylvia. I mean, hey, he's from Maine, so he could probably come down here and kick my ass, but...
He's a cop, too, bro, remember? They did that, like, thing on...
Yeah, but he's a cop in, like, Iowa, right? He's not even, like... You figure he'd be, like, up in Maine, like...
I don't know, yeah, he's like a cop on the weekends.
But isn't it in, like, Iowa or something weird?
Maybe he doesn't live in Maine anymore.
No, he probably doesn't live in Maine, yeah, that's where he's from, but... No, I know, because Iowa was where the militant camp was, so that's probably where he's living.
Maybe he still trains with them?
Well, I don't even know.
Oh, that's fucked up.
I didn't think Militant still had that camp. I don't know, maybe he does. Because I don't like Matt Hughes and fucking Wallace out of, like, hit squad. All
right, fuck Tim Sylvia. I'm going to call Mark Miller right now and get him in here. Fucking Thor hurts from screaming last night.
Whammy.
I was doing that.
Oh, you're gay. You're chanting for some kid that's like the same age as you.
I know.
So that's what you're gonna think.
That pisses me off. Like, this kid's 88. Like, he was born in 88.
Kids, like, look at all these fucking people. Oh, my dick.
All these youngsters in here. Except for me.
That kid's probably gonna catch a charge. All these young girls going to Wisconsin. Probably gonna fuck one of them.
Probably is.
Webby.
Alright, let me get Mark in here.
I heard he's got beef with my boy, etc. from our town.
Oh, shit. I played this song. He supposed to diss him on in the beginning, so.
Oh, yeah. Nice diss, Webby. Oh, shit. Fucking Chibble. Boss be a rapper. He, like, bought a shirt.
He's going to slap you, dude. Bought two of them. Green one and a gram.
Come slap me, Gore.
Hello.
Hey, Mark, how's it going, brother? This is MMA Topics Radio. We got you live on the air.
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, nothing much, man. First of all, I just want to say thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
No worries. Happy to do it.
Thanks, man. You're fighting Sergey Kharitonov March 23rd. You anxious to fight? I know it's been like 7 months since you last fought, so anxious to get back in there?
Bro, if we could fight tomorrow, I would do it.
There you go.
So I think you're in already great shape.
Yeah, that's the big thing, is making sure that I keep peaking right. So, you know, it's one of those things. I'm kind of chomping at the bit because, it's you know, I've wanted to fight, and there's been a couple things that have fallen through since the last fight. So, you know, it's go time at this point.
Right. Yeah, so now your upcoming fight takes place in Russia. And I know your last fight was also in Russia, but... Have you fought in Russia a lot, or was that the first time when you last fought?
Last time was the first time that I've actually fought, and, you know, now I get the Rocky IV moment. So, you know, I'll be doing my sports training montage in the snow and all that good stuff. But unfortunately,
you
we don't
plan
have
on going over. How early you plan on going over there? Like a week before the fight, 2 weeks before the fight?
Probably. I'm not going to get there real early, so I'm going to get there probably maybe 3 days so that the jet lag doesn't affect me. I was supposed to be doing camp in Holland for this fight, but that didn't end up working out. So what's happening is I'm going to be training the rest of the camp with Carlo Deckers, who is the brother of some guy named Ramon Deckers. I don't know. Some fight fans might have heard of him. But anyway.
Yeah, because I've read the Golden Glory guys, but so you haven't been over there training in the Netherlands at all?
Not for this fight. No, it was the plan, but it's just, you know, obviously, as everybody knows, there's a lot of things going on with Golden Glory right now. So,
yeah, right.
You know, just trying to get things situated. So, you know, I started camp here, and I just kind of wanted to keep it here. I didn't want to pick up in the middle of camp and go over there. So, you know, I'm already in my routine. Fighters are superstitious. I have my routine going. So what I'm going to do is work with him when he gets here if I can't get over there real early, I like to get over there right before the fight, because that way I have no way of having the jet lag affect me, because it generally takes about 3-4 days for it to start hitting you, at least for me. So that's my plan. Just like the last.
Yeah, well, I didn't even realize that if you go out there like 3 days, the jet lag wouldn't affect you. I thought like if you go out there like 2 weeks before, you could get used to it and it would be more beneficial.
Right.
But yeah, that sounds right.
Well, if you
want to
get
what do you
want to
do? Sit over in Russia for 2 weeks, you know?
Right.
But do you enjoy going to different countries and fighting?
Yeah,
traveling
absolutely.
All over.
It's nice to go all over on somebody else's dime, you know. I mean, I like to travel as it is, and. You know, apparently it's part of my job, but you know, you get to check some things out. Not that you know that's my focus. After the fight's a little easier. Before the fight, you know, I'm kind of focused on one thing. But yeah, I don't.
So plane rides don't bother you at all?
What's that? No.
Plans? No.
No.
And another thing I want to ask. So you've done the amateur boxing. I know you did Muay Thai in Thailand. You've done a few MMA fights. You do kickboxing, obviously. What's your favorite combat sport to compete in? Is it kickboxing?
I'd probably say it's kickboxing. I mean, I've done all of it professionally, but it's probably kickboxing. Just that's, you know, for whatever reason, it's just that's what I'm most drawn to. You know, I like them all. I like to watch them all. I like to do them all. But I'm most happy when I'm kickboxing.
Yeah. I also read that you were a big Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris fan growing up. Are those films what got you interested in combat sports?
Well, between that and my father, I mean, my father was a combat guy, boxing, and he'd done. He did jiu-jitsu when he was in the Marines in the 40s, getting ready for World War II. So,
really? Wow.
It's been around Japanese jiu-jitsu. It's been around for a while, but he got me into boxing, and then the movies are what crossed me over into martial arts. I mean, you can't be from my era and you know, be in the martial arts and not say that you know, the Bruce Lee and Chuck Norris Chop Saki films didn't influence you. If you do, you're lying, and I'll call you out.
What about Jean-Claude Van Damme, kickboxing? You like that movie?
He was a little bit later. I mean, you know, I was already a teenager by then. You know, I was like,
yeah.
When he first came on the scene, I was like a junior, senior in high school. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, anytime you get to see people do what you do on film, especially, you know, that's not something that was super, you know, available in those days. Yeah, it was cool. I mean,
yeah.
You know, even Van Damme, even Seagal, because, you know, he invented the front kick. So,
yeah.
Happy to not be excited by him.
Another thing I wanted to bring up, anyone who's a fan of you knows that you had the enlarged heart and you had to have heart surgery due to the condition. Were you experienced chest pain before you found out, or just going through the medical examination, is that how they found out?
Going through the medicals. I never had any symptoms till right before the surgery. You know, I was born with a congenital heart defect, and actually what it was my left ventricle never formed. So, you know, I was getting ready for a fight. And if it wouldn't have been for the licensing in Florida, I would have never known. And, you know, they couldn't even understand why I had no symptoms. It's just because I was in such good shape. That was the whole reason the heart got enlarged. So, you know.
Yeah, that happens to a lot of athletes, and they don't even know. And then some of them end up dying, you know.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Absolutely.
So did you think your fight career was over with that?
No. Reggie Lewis from the Boston Celtics had the same condition as me, but he's never knew about it. And, you know, he dropped it on the practice court when he was playing for the Celtics. So, you know, I'm just fortunate.
So did you think your fight career was over when you found that out?
They told me my fight career was over. So, you know, I didn't have the coolest doctors at first. But, you know, I'm a little headstrong. I tend not to listen to doctors because I haven't been listening to them my entire life, so I wasn't about to start, you know, at 35.
Right.
So, you know, I just fortunately hooked up with a doctor who did a lot of research and found out that there was a way that we could get around it with a certain kind of operation. I mean, but the trade-off was if I got the surgery that made me be able to come back to fight, just meant that I had to get the surgery again 15 years later. But to me, it was a trade-off because I figured, okay, if I'm in my 50s, I probably won't be fighting. You know, I'm not Maurice Smith. So it the trade-off is worth it to me. So that's why I chose what I chose.
Right. Yeah, so you are going to have surgery again down the line?
Yes, absolutely. Because what they would have done was put a synthetic valve in my chest. But, you know, obviously I had to be on Coumadin for the rest of my life. And there's no way you'll ever get licensed to fight again with an artificial valve and being on Coumadin. So I chose the route of a cadaver valve, and
right.
It makes it that I'm able to fight. But the problem is, like I said, I'll have to get surgery again. But to me, it's worth it. So I'm probably looking at another, 10-12 years to get the surgery again.
Yeah, because I think that guy from Everlast, from House of Pain, he has a titanium heart valve, I think. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, but I don't think he has to get the surgery again. I think I heard
Once you get that, you never have to get the surgery again. But, you know, obviously the trade-off there is you're on medication. But, I mean, if you're, you know, if you're not really worried about, if you don't have to worry about getting, injured in a fight or cut, then it's not really a big concern. So,
If you have to take blood thinner or, like, rust or something like that, or, like, stop
working. Right.
That's a scary thing, though, definitely.
Yeah,
no pun intended, but you definitely got a big heart, you know what I mean? You came back and knocked out freaking the guy in 9 seconds. Yeah, it's crazy, man.
It couldn't have played out any better, but, you know, my whole thing was Gokin Taki was fighting that night, and like I said, I wanted to see Gokin fight, so, and I'll say this a million times, you know, they don't pay me by the hour, they don't pay me by the minute, so I just want to get in, get out, and go enjoy the rest of the fights, and, you know. I know
what did you think of their recent Gokin Taki fight when he lost to Badahari when he retired?
That was a fight? That was I wasn't really, Bader was kind of, Bader's Bader. I mean, he's one of the best in the world, obviously, and, you know, he was going out, and I think it was just a combination of, Gokin kind of got crushed under all that, All that pressure of the Bader was on. Bader's on.
Oh yeah, and once you get rocked by Bader, you know it's kind of hard to recover.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially
exactly.
When there's so much time on it.
Exactly.
Are you sad to see Badahari move over to professional boxing? Are you glad?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but I'm gonna be honest here, and I'm gonna catch a lot of hell for this, but I don't think he's gonna be there that long. Boxing,
oh, really?
Heavyweight boxing is not an easy sport. You know, let's be
right.
Honest. You know, the Klitschko's will jab you to death for 12 rounds. And
right, I think by the time he gets up in the rankings, I think their Klitschko's will probably be retired.
Those guys will be gone.
Yeah.
Those guys will be gone. But it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But,
right.
You know, Bader isn't exactly somebody that won't kick somebody in the head if he forgets in the middle of a fight.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, right.
You
can
only use your
hand. He kind of has that, you know, that mentality where he'll just flip out in the ring. That's why I kind of scared about him, you know.
That'd be nuts. He just like a head kick somebody.
Yeah. Like what he did to freaking Hensie Gurgis or something, you know, you can't have him do that.
Exactly. He does that, and, you know, boxing is just going to say, you know, take a walk. But then again, after yesterday, you know, guys are beating guys with glasses, so who knows.
Oh, yeah, so you saw the post-fight conference with the Vitaly Klitschko and... Named Derek Taroso, David Haye, all that.
That was craziness. You know.
Yeah, he was like threatening to shoot David Haye.
Yep.
I was like, this is nuts.
The sort of things that he's like Nick Diaz or Chael Sonnen, and he's I'll slap this guy, then I'll spit water to the other big names thing, and then I'll just talk shit in the other guy. So he's guaranteeing he's gonna have a lot of big fights. You know, that was
definitely
that might have been a smart move.
Right. Now, are you disappointed about what's happened at the Japanese kickboxing scene with K-1 and all that's happened in the past, the past year?
Yeah, I am, because, you know, first of all, it's never good for guys not to get paid. You know, I'm friends with a lot of those guys that are owed a lot of money, but it's screwing up the scene. And now, with all the stuff that's going on, I just don't want to see it get split up to where all the top heavyweights can't fight each other. I want to see, you know, everybody be able to fight. I don't want it to turn into boxing in the 80s. You know, I don't want heavyweight boxing from the 80s to be played out in heavyweight kickboxing. And it's just sad because I remember how big it was in the 90s and, you know, what it's devolved into. A lot of it has to do with FEG. I mean, you know, FEG kind of destroyed K-1.
Right.
But, you know, there's still a lot of good fighters, so hopefully, you know, everybody can figure it out
yeah.
and work together and see what happens.
Yeah, and it's Showtime and United Glory are putting on, you know, good kickboxing shows, and it's definitely going to be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of good stuff coming from the backers of United Glory now. So, we, you know, obviously Sammy Schultz making his comeback on the same card as me. And,
right.
You know, we have a young guard versus, you know, the new guard in the Errol Zimmerman and Jerome LaVanner fight. So,
right.
You know, it's going to be interesting. There's a lot of good fighters out there, but I just want everybody under the same roof because right now, Geed is the man.
Daniel Geed is a monster. Speaking of upcoming matches, though, what do you think of the legend Peter Ertz? He's finally calling the quits, and he's fighting Tyrone Spartan. I mean, this guy's one of my favorite fighters of all time. You know, been fighting over 20 years. What do you think about this fight coming up?
I can't wait to see it. You know, Peter Ertz is Peter Ertz. He hits you
right.
I love Tyrone, but you know Tyrone's been knocked out a couple times, and if Peter
Hands
puts hands or his right shin on you, you're going to go to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm really looking forward to the fight. I'm hoping that I'm in Europe at the time because I would love to see that fight live because I think it's going to be in what Brussels that they're going to do that fight. I believe.
I think so. You're right.
So
I can't wait for that fight. I mean, Peter Ertz is definitely brings it. He's still bringing it. He freaking beat. What's his name? Shemi Silt last year. You know, I mean, what was it, 2 years ago? No, it was the last year, the fucking, I don't even know.
Well, December 2010.
Yeah,
2010,
yeah, okay. The end of 2010, so.
I'm glad to see Krokop going back to kickboxing, too, for his final fight.
Right, yeah.
Defo, too, so.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that. I mean, I think it's a bad fight for him, obviously. But, I mean, because Ray's power is ridiculous. But I'm glad to see him go out on his terms. He wants to fight in his hometown. He's going to fight kickboxing. So, that's if you're going to go out, that you know, I'm glad to see he gets to go out on his own terms.
Plus, I hope that brings more attention to kickboxing. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people know him from MMA now, even though he started in kickboxing, you know, and now he's going back to kickboxing. So I hope that brings more attention to kickboxing.
Yeah, there's a lot of MMA fans who never saw Krokop kickbox live, you know.
Right, exactly. Even though he's fought great, you know.
That's when he was in his prime, and, you know.
Right.
People don't realize the stuff he was able to do, especially when he in his prime, he was 210 pounds fighting in K1. But,
right.
You know, he hit you, that was it.
Yeah, like, I know HC has stepped up, and they've been showing a lot of kickboxing events, but do you think kickboxing will ever be as big as it is overseas as it is in the U.S.?
It has to get the right people behind it. Get
right.
the right promoters behind it and come to the U.S. There's one other key element here, which is me. Hello. US fighter, you have to have a U.S. fighter that can
yeah, you're right. You're definitely right.
One.
That's what it is. A lot of these great fighters are from a lot of different countries, you know, with, you know, Keita being from, like, Romania and, you know, Hezzy Gurgis from, like, Egypt, you know. So all these guys are not, you know, recognizable by the U.S. fans, but the diehards know who they are, but it just sucks, you know. But you got a guy like you, Mark Miller, who's a guy from the U.S., which is great. So, but, yeah, you're right. They definitely need somebody behind it, like a Dana White. I don't know why somebody like that hasn't gone behind it because I think a lot of people that like combat sports, like me and my co-host, would love to watch that, you know, and there's millions
Absolutely.
Of people in the U.S. that I think would attach to it, you know.
I'm surprised Mark Cuba doesn't throw some money into it or something.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, he already is.
Yeah, because the HD net.
It would definitely be cool.
Think of it this way. Let's be honest. How many times you watch a UFC card and what does everybody want to see? They want to see two guys standing up and
exactly.
banging it out. So,
exactly.
And it, you know, might as well watch the best guys in the world do that. And, you know, that's a lot of the K-1 heavyweights bring that kind of excitement. But how many people
right.
know who Daniel Geed is, as talented as he is? How many people, you ask anybody in the U.S. who Daniel Geed is, and they have no idea. Is that, you know, David Geed? You know, there's a lot of bad jokes I can make here, but nobody knows. So, you know.
Yeah, like Giorgio Petrosian. Right nobody knows about Giorgio Petrosian, you know what I mean? Like.
Absolutely. I mean, and Giorgio, to me, in all of combat sports, is the perfect fighter right now. I mean, the only,
right.
only knock people could make against him is he doesn't knock a lot of dudes out. But, I mean,
yeah,
he makes the top fighters in the world. Yeah, but he makes the top fighters in the world look ridiculous.
Right.
I mean, he embarrasses guys in the ring. You think how good Andy Sauer is. You think how good Bukow is. He makes them look silly when he fights them. I mean, his skill
fight with him and Mike Zambides was a fucking war, man. That was crazy.
Absolutely. And, you know, he's incredible to watch. But like you said, who the hell knows who he is?
Exactly. You know, that's and he's one of the best strikers in the world. It's crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely love how Inside MMA is trying to introduce MMA fans to kickboxing, though, because I know they had you on there recently, and they always show kickboxing highlights on there, so that's definitely a good thing, too.
And absolutely, and it gives you a chance to get on there and talk, and what's nice is, like I said, you know, if they see an American voice, and that's the thing, that my story can roll people in, because it comes from a different angle. Here's some guy, and it's... That's what's good, and that's what I'm hoping happens, because, you know, I don't have to explain to you guys, because you guys are, you know, it's like preaching to the choir, but these K-1 fights, these K-1 Max fights are some of the best fights in the world to watch, so I just want people to be able to see it. They're different sports than MMA, but if you like combat, you like combat, you know that. Boxing, MMA, and kickboxing are three different sports. People try to meld together, they're not, but they're combat sports.
Right.
And they're all great to watch for whatever reason. I mean, it's guys fighting. It's the most base of you know, human competition, let's be honest.
Yeah, definitely. And another thing I wanted to ask you, though, you got a lot of tattoos, and you got the shark piece on your neck. I wonder where the nickname the Fight Shark come from.
It kind of evolved. They used to, like, in the gym in the 90s when I would spar, I had a coach that said that I reminded him of a shark in water, because whenever I hurt somebody, I went after like a shark goes after blood, and it just kind of stuck. And because I fought, I just had people start calling me Fight Shark, and it just became one of those things where, you know, people didn't even know. It came to the point where people didn't even know my name was Mark. Everybody would call me Fight Shark, so, hey, it's stuck. You know, sometimes you get lucky. Nickname sticks.
Yeah, it's a badass nickname.
Yeah, it's definitely a good nickname,
I can't
Now, speaking of, who are some of your favorite kickboxers and, you know, boxers, MMA fighters? Who are some of your favorites of all time?
Well, as a kid, my favorite boxer when I was coming up was Marvin Hagler, because he was just no-nonsense, you know, just a badass from Brockton, Mass,
Hagler Hearns.
Everything about Hagler was my man. I mean, just that was just, to me, he was just tough. You know, I came up in a hard blue collar area, so, you know, those were the kind of guys I was drawn to. And then when I got into kickboxing, you know, those days it was a little different. But you know, as far as Americans, the guys I saw a lot, Maurice Smith. And then Rick Rufus on ESPN, because he did a lot of flashy stuff and was in knocking dudes out. And then when I was introduced to the Dutch fighters, you know, Rob Kamen and Ramon Dekkers. And the thing about me is I've worked with all of those guys. I mean, that's how fortunate. Guys that got me into the sport when I was a teenager, I've worked with every one of those guys. And, you know, how many people get to say they got to work with their idols? So, you know. And then, like everybody else, I saw UFC 1, and, you know, I knew who the Gracie family was already, and I told people that night, where do you see this dude? And they're like, yeah, whatever. And what happened? Tapped everybody out. So, you know, that brought a whole new sport and a whole new thing to the world. So, you know, the Gracies, from that standpoint, you know, Hoist will always be somebody you remember.
Yeah, speaking of kickboxing on ESPN, like you said, I used to watch back in the day. That's how I first got introduced to it. And I used to like that guy, Michael McDonald from the U.S. And it was different back then, though, right? They couldn't throw, what could they throw, like, not head kicks or some shit?
Full contact crap basically is like full contact karate. That's what they call it. Because it was karate rules like they do in, like, you know, in the pajamas, but...
It was like points. It was based on points.
You could punch. Right. You could full contact. You could only. You couldn't.
Yeah, because Bob Sapp was in that too. I remember seeing Bob Sapp on ESPN.
Oh yeah, really? I don't remember that.
I think
he was in Tough Man. He was in Tough Man.
Or maybe that was. Well, maybe that's what it was. Tough Man.
He was in Tough Man. Yeah.
Maybe
Man.
I'm just fucking putting those together. I'm freaking embarrassed.
Yeah, Phil Baroni was in Tough Man too.
Yeah.
He went to K1. He went to K1 because Phil Baroni too. Yeah. He went to K-1 because he was doing WCW, and Sam Greco had left K-1 to do WCW, professional wrestling. And what happened was Sam Greco told Ishii about Bob Sapp, and that's how Sapp went to Japan. He first came out to Maurice Smith. That's when I was out at Maurice Smith in like 2000, 2001. And when I first met Bob, he was 440 and had a six-pack.
Wow. Yeah, no, I remember so I was playing like, in K-1. For some reason, I thought he was playing on ESPN. I don't know why.
Yeah, Sapp used to train with Maurice Smith and Randy Couture, I think.
Yeah.
So,
yep, absolutely. Because Randy used to come up to the gym and work his stand-up. That was after him and Maurice had fought for the UFC title in Japan that time. And then Bob Sapp came out because he was working. You know, the Japanese were paying Maurice to train Bob Sapp.
Now, are you still looking to get into any MMA fights in the future, or are you strictly just going to focus on the kickboxing career from this point on?
If the right fight came along, you know, obviously if somebody wants to back up the Brinks truck, you know, come on.
Yeah.
I'm going to get anybody else. I'm going to fight. I'm a fighter, and, you know, the right fight will always intrigue me. But I have a lot of, you know, good things going on with kickboxing right now. I have a lot of fights set up and a lot of big things coming, so I'm happy there. So, you know, I never say never.
Right. Yeah, because if you look at a guy like Pat Barry, I mean, he was primarily just a kickboxer, and he's just starting to learn. He's getting his ground game down. I mean, in his last fight, he was caught in a couple bad positions, and he got out of it with working with Death Clutch over with Lesnar and them. But, yeah, you definitely can tell that, you know, kickboxers should definitely cross over. If kickboxers aren't going to get recognized like they should as kickboxers, then they should just cross over, I think, either into boxing or MMA because nothing else to do, you know. Because Daniel Gita, some people should know about those low leg kicks of Daniel Gita.
Oh, yeah, he'd be chopping dudes.
Plus, his boxing's getting real good, man. His last fight with Gurdjieff, he just knocked the fuck off.
He's in shape and his boxing's good now, so that's why he is the man.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, I would have loved to see him in Badahari fight. That was supposed to happen.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
So, yeah, we'll see what happens with Bader and boxing, and then we can, you know.
Yeah, right. He might
bring can always hold
back to K-1 in a couple years.
So yeah, he might blow that opportunity. Yeah. Hopefully he doesn't, though. But, yeah, you're taking on Sergey Karatonov, March 23rd, United Glory 15. And I just want to thank you for coming on the show. Sorry about the 10-minute delay. We were running late. But if there's anyone you want to shout out, the sponsors, Twitter, feel free to do so, man.
All right, I always put my Twitter out there. You guys know that. That's a great communication. It's at FlightShark_com. And, you know, I have my new behind-the-scenes webisodes, vlog, whatever you want to call it.
I caught that earlier when you tweeted it. Good shit, man.
And we're going to be doing that throughout leading up to the fight. So keep checking those out. You can see them on my Twitter. I'm going to shout out, obviously, you know, my team, Golden Glory, and give some, you know, shout-outs to my trainer, Carlo Deckers. And, you know, thank you guys for having me on the show. And other one I'll do is, being that I got a new happy sponsor, is Beats. Beats by Dre, so you can listen to your music and actually hear the music. It's awesome.
I got Beats by Dre. Those are sick.
Yes, they are.
Yep. Yeah, we definitely want to thank you for coming on the show, man. I mean, we're primarily an MMA show, but we love all combat sports, especially K-1. So, I mean, kickboxing, so definitely thank you for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me, guys.
All right, take it easy, brother.
All right.
Have a good one.
Mark Miller, everybody, taking on Sergey Karatonov.
Yeah, that's going to be a war, man. Karatonov hasn't really looked too good in kickboxing. You know,
he knocked out Mighty Mouse his last fight, I think.
Yeah, no, he did, but I think he's only like two and I think he has three losses, maybe two wins.
Yeah, I don't believe he has like a big kickboxing background.
Yeah, right.
He's primarily an MMA.
I know Daniel Gita gave him a loss. I know Daniel Gita took it to him.
Let me see. I'm trying to find his fucking record. Oh, yeah, right there.
Gita beat him, right?
That was his first fight, though.
Yeah.
It was by a low kick. I mean, Gita destroys a lot of people with that.
Still, Gita would fuck him up again.
Yeah, he's had four fights, and all of them have been knockout. He got knocked out twice, and he won twice by knockout.
Yeah.
He knocked out that guy, Mighty Mo, and that guy's, I don't even think that guy's ever been knocked out before until Sergey hit him.
Oh, really?
That guy Mighty Mo was a fella.
No, Mighty Mo is good. Yeah, he's pretty big though. Yeah, I don't know. He's never won anything. I think he's been knocked out.
Yeah, he probably has.
Yeah,
I think the guy's been knocked out a lot, probably.
Yeah, they do get knocked out a lot. They fucking, you know, kickboxers.
Yeah, I don't know. I remember, I just, one fight I was watching, he was taking a beating and just wasn't.
I definitely enjoyed chopping it up with Mark Mill. I love talking kickboxing.
Oh, yeah, dude's the man. I was glad to get him on the show. We had like a 10-minute delay. I felt bad about that, but whatever. We still kept him on for like a half an hour, so
yeah.
Got to chop it up with him. Looking forward to that fight. If you're an MMA fan and you don't watch any of these kickboxing events, you need to check them out because there's a lot of action. It's not like a boxing fight. Like, a lot of these boxing matches go to decisions, and these guys jump around and jab. Like, you hardly ever see a lot of crazy knockouts in boxing matches, but you're always seeing guys get knocked the fuck out in kickboxing.
You really are getting knocked out. They're so much more aggressive, you know. They fight three rounds, and they got two extension rounds if it needs to go there, but I think it's either two or three extension rounds. And, you know, it's just, I love kickboxing, you know what I mean? It's definitely, if kickboxing was on as much as MMA, I probably would like it as much as MMA, but it's not, so it's like, I probably get the edge on MMA, but.
You know, I'm liking how we need some more American stars like Mark Miller, too. That's
yeah.
People can connect with them. But this card's going to be fucking stacked. They got Jerome Lavanna versus Errol Zimmerman.
Errol Zimmerman, fucking monster, man.
That guy's a beast. He looked nice in his last fight. And Semi Schultz making his return.
He's looking nice in his last couple of fights, Zimmerman.
Yeah. But, Semi Schultz doesn't have an opponent yet, though.
Semi Schultz doesn't have an opponent?
No, not yet.
Really?
No, not yet.
Ooh, he should fight Gita. Gita didn't even really get touched in his last fight.
Fuck, I just like burped. All right, man. Good show.
Yeah.
Nothing else really to talk about. Mark Miller, dude's a beast. He looks so sick in his last fight. 9-second knockout. Just went out there and destroyed that dude. If he can come out there again and do that,
right.
I'll be really impressed.
Yeah, I mean, I think he might be able to win. I mean, Karatonov hasn't really shown me that much in kickboxing.
Well, that was perfect, too, because I think Mark Miller, they were doing some documentary, like the Fight Shark movie or something. Like he's doing some like independent movie, and they were filming his comeback, like the heart surgery and all that shit. And so that was like the perfect way to come back, and, like, because
right.
they filmed all that, and he comes back and knocks the guy the fuck out. Because they were talking about it on Inside of MMA. He's going to try to, I think, release it somewhere.
Yeah.
So everyone check that shit out. And Daniel Strauss, he's fighting Bellator March 9th.
Yep.
Make sure to check him out on MTV2. Me and Dukes, we out this bitch. Follow us on Twitter, DVICGDP, Dukes Jones, MMAtopics.net, MMAmadhouse.com, Mobs is Fight Gear, Razorware MMA, the horror page on Facebook, Vigilante MMA, NC MMA Boston, BoneBreakers.com, and MMAtopics.net. We got a lot of affiliates shouting out the fam. Me and Dukes, we out this bitch.
Gonna go walking dead, motherfucker.
And he's bounding down.
Ha!
Yeah!
Kenny Powers.
We running!
Yeah.
We running!
I got you. Raw shit, right? Split these niggas to the raw meat.
You're mad at me,
so you hearing that any nigga outcook me. It's suspect as R. Kelly with Girl Scout cookies. When you talking to a pro, watch your mouth, rookie. Go in your shit, have your teeth playing mouth, rookie.
Nice.
You niggas must have heard me wrong. I blame them horses when I turn that Porsche turby on. My engine getting this Kentucky Derby on. Seats is brunette, painted dirty blonde. Speaking of dirty blonde, say hi to Kirby Dawn. Fergie John with the body movement of a tourbillon. I just watch her, it's been a hectic year. So I sit and get fried, call a weed electric chair. But y'all on death row, one request left. You looking for your girl? Oh, she just left. Her and my dick just became BFF.